Morning Glory, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Thanks for joining me as we get ready for the new year to end. News keeps happening, and I'm pleased to welcome Joe DeGenova, formerly United States Attorney for the District of Columbia, longtime veteran of the Department of Justice, independent counsel. He's a partner in the firm of DeGenova and Tunzing, and Joe is a longtime colleague of mine from back when I was a briefcase-carrying special assistant to Bill Smith and Ed Meese. Joe, welcome. Good to have you this morning. I understand, though, you share the burden with me of being a colleague of Larry O'Connor's.
That is indeed right. And we've both suffered from his wine selection skills, quote unquote.
Skills. You know, he told me when I let him order the wine the other night, because I was picking up the check, I hosted a dinner for some friends and Larry was there, that the DeGenova rule is just go as high as you want when you're not paying.
Well, that's Larry's rule. He has no concern for the payor.
No, he doesn't. I just want the world to be aware that if they're going to go out with Larry O'Connor, keep the wine list away from him. Joe DeGenova is my expert witness on that. Joe, I wanted to talk to you not only about O'Connor, but there was a little notice story yesterday, 2 days ago, the U.S. Court of Appeals for District Columbia Circuit resurrected the email cases against Hillary Clinton. What is the significance of that going forward from the perspective of someone who's done battle with the Clintons forever?
Well, the bottom line is that the Court of Appeals, which is decidedly left-wing, liberal, Obama-packed, as you know, that was the court that Obama packed with three judges when Harry Reid changed the filibuster rule, they ruled that she can be compelled to produce documents that were deleted, that the government can be forced to go back and try and reconstruct those deleted documents, and that the government must do so under the Freedom of Information Act. This is actually quite remarkable because you will recall that this administration pronounced itself to be the most transparent in history. It has proved to be anything but that. The Obama administration has been the most obstructive abuser of turning over Freedom of Information Act information. In addition, they have been the most abusive in the use of subpoenas and search warrants against the press, but you won't hear a word from it from the lemmings in the mainstream media. Bottom line is the email case is going to haunt Hillary Clinton for at least 4 to 5 more years.
Which brings us to whether or not she will seek and ought he to give, and do you expect a pardon to issue from President Obama to Secretary Clinton in order to try and bring the curtain down on the Clinton era of scandal?
Well, the pardon power, as it is known, is in Article 2, Section 2, Paragraph 1 of the United States Constitution, and it says, and he shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. I do not expect President Obama to pardon Mrs. Clinton. There's no reason to. Certainly as a matter of law, she is not subject to prosecution. He can do a preemptive pardon, which is what this would be. He's not indicated that he would do so. He has spent most of his time reducing the sentences by commutation of drug dealers and murderers over the last year. He has now granted more pardons and clemencies than any other president in history, all of those going to drug sentenced offenders for the most part. I don't see anything being done for Hillary Clinton. There clearly is no love lost between the two families, but I just don't see it. I don't think it helps what's left of his legacy. After the vote in the United Nations, I'm not quite sure what he can do to resurrect whatever is left of this slimy period in American history.
Then this email case will go on and on, because I do not, even though the D.C. Circuit has been packed, and Joe DeGenova, my guest, is absolutely right, it was packed, and that's what the Reid rule is. It was the effort to pack the D.C. Circuit. And I'm a proponent of actually...
Reed.
Yeah, thank you. Would you agree with me in my new book that comes out in a couple of weeks, Joe? I argued for the Congress to expand the D.C. Circuit to reverse the effects of that packing and to split the Ninth Circuit for that matter. Would you agree with me on either or both of those propositions?
I would happy to have. There's nothing to prevent it from happening. And indeed, the Constitution expressly provides that the Congress and the president can expand the courts. They are, all of our federal courts are creatures of statute. They can be expanded. Circuits can be eliminated. They can be made larger. So it's not a problem. I would support that. And that would be the ultimate answer to Harry Reid's changing the filibuster rule.
Yep, that's it. Because this was a three-judge panel, and it's three conservatives that were appointed under regular order, the old 60 rule order, Brent Kavanaugh among them. Great judges. But the en banc, for the benefit of the Steelers fans, Joe, let's slow down. If the court wants to sit as a whole, It's got a first time you've heard that, huh? I hope you're not a Steelers fan. If they, all the liberals get together, they can overrule it. But I don't think they dare do that on this. Do you?
Oh, let me tell you something. They're not going to do that. They're not even going to grant a petition for review. This is a Freedom of Information Act case. This is not a constitutional case. This is run of the mill, everyday granola law about. And the reason it's a big deal is because the Obama administration has spent 8 years obstructing the implementation of the Freedom of Information Act. That's why this is a big deal. The judges on that circuit, for the most part, who were back in the 1960s lefty era, when it used to be called the Bazelon Court, yep, after the famous left-wing judge David Bazelon, they don't want anything to do with this. Their reputations are already sullied by the way they got on the court. And so they're not interested in doing anything further, because they, as we say in the business in Washington, you got to eat lunch in this town, so you better be able to hold your head up.
You're right about it. I want to tell people, I clerked on that circuit for George McKinnon and Roger Robb, and it used to be the Platinum Circuit. You know, it's not the Supreme Court, but it's close to it. But what Reed did to it, it really does need a major repair to repair the damage done, yep, to Reed to it. Joe DiGenova, let me ask you about something else, since I got one of America's best lawyers here. Yesterday, it came down that hackers had gotten into Cravath and had gotten data on a insider deal, and they'd made close to $1 million on it. And I began to raise the issue, and I haven't talked to my partner, Judge Larson, about this yet, but you're a guy I can ask. I think law firms are going to have to adopt best practices, and I expect people like you and Stephen Larson and others to get phone calls from these law firms in anticipation of lawsuits from investors for not protecting the data. What do you is there vulnerability now to even being in corporate securities work if the hackers can breach your security?
Well, that duty to protect data already exists with law firms under not only bar rules, but American Bar Association standards. By the way, I left the American Bar Association 20 years ago over their disgusting affront to Republican nominees for judgeships, one of the most, yes, unfair, awful organizations on the face of the earth. It's not a professional association. It's a trade association composed of a bunch of left-wing thugs who try to represent the American legal system. But the answer is American law firms are already liable for the handling of confidential information, no matter what it is. In this case, it happened to be information about a transaction that was extremely important. Hackers got it from Cravath. It's Cravath's problem. They don't have enough liability insurance to cover their losses, and it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch. Cravath, Swain are a bunch of slugs who spend all of their time. This is the silk stocking thieves up in New York. God, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch.
So I don't think you'll be representing Cravath as their defense counsel, will you?
I don't want their dirty money.
but what I'm talking about, though, is a much bigger issue than one law firm. I think every, yep, law firm in the country, especially if they're doing securities work. I'm glad, yep, we don't. We're a litigation boutique like you. We don't do this stuff. But boy, if you're handling insider data, you've got, yep, to have best practices out of the roof, don't you?
Well, they need to spend a couple of $1 million a year on security of their computer systems. And if they haven't done that, then their liability is going to be humongous. They can, you know, there's just no doubt about it. If you do this type of work, you're supposed to know how important that information from your client is. Or if you're doing transactional work, which is what Cravath was doing for a large corporation, you know immediately what your duties are of preservation and protection. They obviously didn't do it correctly. Their systems were not sufficient. And as a matter of pure law, res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks for itself. The information got out, ergo, their systems were not sufficient.
Man, Joe, you're using Latin. I tell you, we're on in Pittsburgh. I remind you about that. One last question. There are 103 vacancies. I want to, mm-hmm, flood the zone. I have Sean Spicer on at the bottom of the hour. I'm hoping President-elect Trump floods the zone, sends up the SCOTUS nominee, but also the 14th Circuit appointments, and that McConnell jams him through and just gavels out Feinstein. What do you think is going to happen? Do we have the guts to go big and go far?
I think McConnell has finally learned the lesson. He has indicated, as you know previously, that he will impose the nuclear option if the Democrats attempt to obstruct the first nominee to the Supreme Court. As you know, Harry Reid changed the filibuster rule to 51 votes, but not for the Supreme Court and not for legislation. If there is obstruction by the Democrats, which Dianne Feinstein, as you know, has announced, she's going to be part of something she calls the resistance. I'm not quite sure what she means by that, except that I think Di has stayed too long at the fair. She's seeking youth through silly language. The bottom line is McConnell has been told that if he does not change the filibuster rule in the face of obstruction of a nominee to the Supreme Court, he will no longer be majority leader.
Yeah, and I actually believe the Reid rule goes to how you change the rules. It's over. It's done for the nominees, and I hope you'll come back and join us on that. Joe DeGeneva, fellow victim of Larry O'Connor's wine ordering and extraordinary lawyer. Great to talk to you, Joe. Stay tuned, America. I'll be right back. If you missed that story, you weren't listening to The Hugh Hewitt Show. Breaking news first, always on The Hugh Hewitt Show.